In this 63rd reel of COL Movies, the boys head back to 2007 to check out the film adaptation of the off-Broadway review, Naked Boys Singing. After seeing more than enough full frontal nudity, they head to the theater to find out if Captain America, the First Avenger, lives up to the hype. From there, they head to the moon with the who-the-hell-knows-when-it'll-actually-be-released horror flick, Apollo 18. They also talk about J.J. Abrams' upcoming projects, provide updates on Oz, the Great and Powerful, and Superman, as well as discuss, hold your breath, Machete sequels. Yes, really. Welcome to COL Movies. Now how about a hot cup of freedom?
The past.
You tell me you built a time machine?
The present.
When does this happen in the movie?
Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
The future.
Hi. Welcome to the future.
And I'm telling you, it's great here.
You're listening to COL Movies.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand spanking new reel of COL Movies, reel number 63. My name is Jeff, and let me introduce my gratuitously naked co-hosts, Ray and Steve. How are you guys doing?
Is it cold in here, or is it just me?
Nah.
You have the air conditioning on too high.
My nipples could cut glass.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything.
Hey, it's summer and I'm in Texas. He's in Florida.
Yes, it's freaking hot.
Not feeling the same thing you are. In any case, let's get right into the news.
News on the mark!
Today we have J.J. Abrams is working on Star Trek 2? Most definitely, but don't count on it until being released in June 2012.
Yeah, the powers that be had originally announced a, June 29th, 2012 release date, but then there was Super 8 and J.J. wouldn't say anything about Star Trek 2, that, no, they're working on the script, but that was about it, and I guess he's finally come back to work, and he's pretty much said he's on for directing the movie, but and then he's working with the same writing team and all that. But other than that, there's been like no official sort of release date set again, and they moved G.I. Joe 2 into this spot that they originally had marked for Star Trek 2. So don't expect this sequel probably until either the end of 2012 or probably the summer of 2013. So it's more likely, they think.
Is JJ working on G.I. Joe?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay.
No, it's just we had talked about G.I. Joe 2 before, how we were like, they had greenlighted a sequel for it, and we were both like, really?
Yeah.
That first one sucked, but it made a whole bunch of money, like hundreds of millions of dollars. So, of course, it gets a sequel.
Because we all got sucked into it.
And how much you want to bet it's going to be kind of like the Transformers series, where the movies aren't that great, but they make so much money because they're like this big spectacle?
I guess.
Although, the rumors we've heard is they're trying to make it more interesting of a movie for the next one. I'm not sure if they'll
but because the first one put me to sleep. I never actually finished watching it.
And you know, if they have no continuity to the first movie, I really couldn't give it in. So
yeah,
but I enjoyed Rise of the Cobra because of, you know, spectacle wise. But that, I mean, that's I like spectacle movies, so
you have something to look forward to in June of 2012, then.
Yeah, that's not for another year, so I'm not going to worry about that.
There's plenty coming out between now and then.
Yeah.
Didn't you see the trailers for Spider-Man and Conan?
And the Avengers?
Yep. Well, of course.
Let's save that for the show, guys.
Exactly.
Well, we are in the show. I'm just
later
mentioning.
In the
did
show.
You see that? Yes. Okay. We're moving on.
Yeah.
In fact, let's move on to from Star Trek to the world of Oz.
Yes,
great and powerful
world of Oz. because I think back when we first started this podcast, we had talked about this movie being made, rumors of it being made, different actors falling in and out of being the lead character, but nothing really solid. Well, I guess they finally released an actual synopsis of the film, and it's going to be starting to shoot in Michigan sometime soon. I don't know about you guys. I mean, I'm not too surprised by the synopsis here. I mean, it's nothing, I think, you know, totally surprising. This basically, you know, the roundabout sort of way talks about how the wizard got to be the wizard, how he got sucked into Oz and shows up, and, you know, trials and tribulations of him becoming who he becomes.
Kind of like the precursor to Wicked, even.
Yeah, yeah. The more interesting thing to me, though, because I'm not really sold on James Franco being the lead.
I'm not sold on James Franco in general.
Yeah. I'm more interested in the witches, to tell you the honest truth.
Yeah.
Mila Kunis, Rachel Weisz, and Michelle Williams. They to me, are more interesting than the lead character, as far as actors are concerned.
Yeah, we'll have to see how that definitely goes. I really want to see a trailer before I'm going to make any judgment regarding Oz. I think it's interesting, but whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I love the sort of Oz universe. I obviously have since I was a little kid, but I don't know if every time anybody's ever come out with some sort of sequel or other story set in the universe, it's always sort of disappointed me. They've never really lived up to the books, so I'm hopeful but wary.
Yeah. One thing I'm kind of thinking this might be a little bit like would be like Sherlock Holmes is the kind of that I'm thinking, at least in the tone,
right,
or something to that effect, and kind of this big reimagining of the world of Oz.
I'm thinking like maybe something along the lines of like, I don't know, National Treasure, more of an adventure movie, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
we can see it.
Where he's going to try to, where he's trying to find his power, or?
Yeah, I mean, they don't really go too much.
The parallel there.
They don't really go too much into, you know, they don't really get too much. Basically, what it sounds like is he kind of, you know, he lands in Oz, and it makes it sound like there's some sort of like anticipation of this great and powerful wizard showing up. So he sort of takes on the role, and then the three witches are like, "Yeah, we don't believe that you're him. So you got to prove that you're the wizard." So I don't know what he's got to do to prove it. You know, so he basically, you know, so there's, I think there's going to be sort of go along that line, you know, he's going to have to prove himself by doing various tasks and things and, you
know. Fair enough.
It looks like it's going to be a redemption story. He's this kind of sleazeball circus music magician. Mm-hmm. And then he gets to Oz, gets into what's going on there, and he has to prove himself as the wizard, right. And as he's going along, he tries to make himself, you know, showing this great and powerful, and then it says here, Oscar transforms himself not only into a great and powerful Wizard of Oz, but into a better man as well. So it's really kind of being more of a redemption movie. We are punishing you by sending you to Oz, and Oz, you will learn to be a better man. So it's kind of like along the Thor theme, I would almost think.
Maybe. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it goes. Again, James Franco?
We'll see. I mean, you never know. But, yeah.
Maybe he'll pull it out like he did 127 hours.
Yeah.
Maybe he'll get stuck under the basket when the hot air balloon crashes. lose an arm.
To chew another arm.
He's the 100 Wizard of Oz.
Then he'll be on morphine and be like, dude, I'm totally like the Wizard of Oz. Like he was in Your Highness the entire movie.
Oh, God. Bad nice. Memories.
Oh, moving on. Yeah, let's go into talking about a never-before-seen. Whoa.
Something you know what? Just to back up for half a second, I was just thinking. To me, the James Franco is becoming the Keanu Reeves of this generation.
I don't know about that.
Because Keanu was kind of that dude back in the for my generation.
Right.
James is kind of the dude for this generation ish. The like so dude guy.
He's the dude guy, but eventually Keanu sort of pushed his way out of that a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think I'm hoping people will make James do that now that he's got a Oscar nod. We'll see. Sorry, just had
to go
there.
That's all right. Moving on into the never-before-seen Superman opening from Superman Returns. Yes. Basically where Superman goes to the supposed relic of Krypton.
The remains of Krypton.
And see what he can find.
Yeah. So
in his crystal ship.
We've never put this movie on the list. But really quickly, did you guys see Superman Returns? Did you like it?
Strangely enough, just recently I watched it. I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a little long, but I thought the actors did a splendid job.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I have not yet seen this one.
Yeah, it was an alright movie. I mean, they could have done better, but it was long and was just in general all just alright.
Maybe we'll have to put it on the list as the sequel approaches.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be down for that. I'm such a Superman, 80s Superman guy.
Right. Well, it was a very polarizing sort of film. It seemed like a lot of people either loved it or hated it. To me, it was sort of meh. But, I'll save my reasoning for that for if we actually do it on the show. But why I put this on here was, there's this huge opening, this 5-minute opening that was basically cut. And this thing was fully realized, almost pretty much full effects, cost them $10 million. And to me, that's like a lot of money just to like cut,
really?
A movie. But, yeah, I find it interesting that it's like sort of just surfaced now because we're sort of starting to pick up on the whole Superman, Man of Steel news and stuff. So I'm wondering if this has anything to do with trying to build up sort of a buzz for the new Superman movie, which I found out today. I didn't put it in the news, but is going to be filming for a few days, not probably an hour away from me.
Nice.
An hour west of me. So I may have to do some scouting, see if I can
see if you can get an interview with
somehow I doubt an interview would be bad because they're actually the article I saw was talking about them like actually closing roads and redirecting traffic around things, and so I might have to be all Mission Impossible about it. But
well, that's why you get a digital recorder and keep it in the pocket and
yeah.
Breaking news on COL Movies.
But anyway, yeah, I'm sure we'll have the movie up on the site, so check it out, take a look at it, let us know what you thought about.
Yeah, especially if they spend all that money on it, it looks really finished. I can't see how it's not. Why didn't they have it in there? I don't think that the extra 5 minutes would have really mattered when it come to length, but
right,
it would probably maybe still consider it too long, but. But that's what they had to cut to do it.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Mm-hmm. And that would be a really good, to me, that would be a good pre-titles segment.
Right.
But that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm just wondering if it's suddenly been released because they're trying to start, building up a buzz for the new movie.
Probably.
It definitely has something to do with it. Yeah. They don't do anything that's not calculated in the movie biz,
Right.
It's always to generate hype and get you thinking something. Yeah. I wonder if it's going to play into the new movie. That would even be more interesting.
It would. It would.
We'll see.
But, yeah.
But moving on into some more Grindhouse.
Oh, yeah.
Film with sequels to Machete. Announced at San Diego Comic-Con.
Wow.
Machete Kills and Machete Kills Again in space. So this is extremely Grindhouse.
Well, one thing I kind of got all excited about this is I'm like, in space, awesome, cool. And then I'm reading it and I was just like, oh, I guess they're calling them sequels. Both of them have been greenlit. However, the first one, Machete Kills, is currently the only one that's going to be guaranteed to be a full-length movie. The third is only going to be a trailer attached to the movie, although they are reserving the right to turn it into a real movie should the sequel do well enough. So
Rodriguez promises that it will include space babes and a lightsaber-style weapon.
A big lightsaber type machete. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's kind of apropos considering, you know, Machete came out of another movie.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Trailer for
being a fake trailer. So that would make sense. It kind of, you know, it's paying back, I suppose.
Yeah, it's just interesting. Literally my eyes lit up. I'm like, we're going to get two movies? Sweet.
Danny and one of them's going to be in space?
In space, you know.
Danny Trejo is Machete in space.
And he has been confirmed that he is going to be reprising his role. So.
Oh, God, who else could they get to do Machete?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like if they don't get him, it's, I mean, they'll all think they're going to call the whole thing off, or they should.
Yeah, like who else are they going to get out of prison to do it?
Maybe Franco. You never know.
James Franco. Maybe he could kill James Franco in space.
There we go.
Not that I wish harm on James Franco. Just saying.
Yeah.
In any case, that is the news.
Chop off his arm. That'd be fun. Sorry.
That is the news. Moving on into the past.
You're telling me that you built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
Naked Boy singing.
Woo.
Talk about gratuitous nudity.
Yeah, amen. For
In
truth.
Fact, that's the first song they sang. It's called Gratuitous Nudity.
Yeah.
I only had the whole list up earlier, but.
Kind of sets you up for what you're in for, basically.
Yeah, it's pretty clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. They at least tell you exactly what's going on. So they're naked, they're boys, and they're singing.
That's yep. Pretty much.
Well, so. I kind of chose to put this on our list because, number one, it's a very gay themed movie. Number two. What?
But it's not June.
I know. Next time.
It's
I'll
okay
save
to be gay all year round, Jeff.
Yes. Not just in June. And I'd seen this a while ago and a couple years ago, and I was just like, I wonder what the other guys think about this. I'm sure the very first thing that comes out of our mind is, where's the bears? You know,
No.
Because it's definitely.
I'm trying to think of a big old bear jumping around the stage singing.
Hey, I've met some of them at karaoke.
Yeah, there's plenty that can sing, you know.
I mean, not the singing part.
Oh.
Just the bouncing around on stage and naked. Not to say I wouldn't enjoy that, but.
Have you been to a wilderness camp
that would not be a good performance. Like if you're talking about a nice review like this off Broadway, I mean, really, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love me my bears, but you know, maybe they could have gotten a slightly beefier, hairy guy, you know, one of the thinner bears, you know, on stage, but I think it's the general aesthetic for people to want the least amount of hair. Although there was a couple guys who were kind of hairy.
I'm surprised they weren't shaved completely. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I'm not.
Well, if anybody wants to take the reins, you know, for Naked Bear singing.
There you go.
Feel free.
That would be a complete and utter disaster.
I would love to watch Bear City 2.
Yeah, over Bear City
2. Bear City 2, Naked Bears.
Naked Bears singing. Anywho.
Oh, Doug, are you listening? This would technically be Bear City 3, but you know, because they're already doing 2 right now. But this is also a review. This isn't really a movie.
True. At
all. All it really is just a series of songs that naked boys are singing.
Well, I mean, you could say that they're
playing off the fact they're naked.
Right.
But it's the film adaptation, as they say.
Right. Mm-hmm. Every song has something to do with the fact that they're nude in some way, shape, or form, almost.
Right. Whether it be from birth or at the gym or just in celebration of being a porn star.
The bliss of
yeah, being bliss circumcised.
or being a naked maid.
Yes.
You know, for what
favorites was the naked maid.
He was kind of funny. Oh. He was funny too. He acted it very well.
I mean, there were definitely, you know, I mean, there were songs that got a chuckle out of me, you know. There's a couple. I guess my big problem is that I'm not a big fan of reviews, really.
I'm not a big fan of musicals.
I'm down with musicals.
You know. You said before you weren't a fan of musicals.
When did I
say? Do I need to refer to the Pajama Game show?
I don't think I ever said I wasn't a fan of musicals. Not the whole genre.
Well, in any case.
Yeah.
This isn't a musical, really. It's just a bunch of songs.
Musical review is what it is. I mean,
right. But there's no storyline. There's no through plot. Sure, some of the songs kind of have a storyline, like the window-to-window ones or whatever they're the ones where the two guys were looking at each other through a window. Mm. That was kind of a storyline. But
so you don't think that having the connectivity of it all of these songs kind of having to do with nudity and being nude and being free and all that kind of stuff is connectivity enough for it to be a play versus a musical review? I'm just curious.
It's a theme to the songs, but it's not a plot line. It's not a story.
It's a thematic connection,
right?
Not so much.
I mean, sure, I could see something like if they started off with the bliss of a bris, where basically they're starting at birth, and they go all the way through, and there's something at the end dealing with death or something, and having this kind of story of this one guy who they just tell while singing songs naked would be, you know, I might call that a musical or operetta or opera or something like that, but. Mm-hmm. This is just a series of relatively random songs. They have that theme about nudity and things that happen and the gay theme. And I mean, they've got themes to them, but they're not cohesive. They don't have this storyline that's going through all these songs. So this is definitely not a musical. In any case, say the words, it's a musical review. Sure. But that's not a musical. It's just a series of songs being performed. And not saying that's a bad thing, but it's just that's the way it is.
Would you recommend this to people who are fans of musicals? Or would you recommend this to people who are just fans of like Broadway song styling kind of stuff?
Sure, if they like musicals, sure.
Oh, I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, the classification on it. Is the only thing.
Yeah, I don't think we need to get too hung up on what to call it. I mean, I think clearly anybody who's a pretty big fan of Broadway musicals would probably have a certain appreciation for this, regardless of the fact that, you know, it's a bunch of naked men doing it. You know, it's really about their comfort level. You know, how comfortable are they going to be about?
There's a reason why this never got on Broadway.
Right. Which is, you know, which is kind of another question I had for you guys, because I know the first time I saw this, I rented it. You know, I don't remember how, probably might have been through Netflix. But anyway, I rented it and then I popped it in and I started watching it. And all of a sudden I was like, holy cow.
Okay, you're so
I mean, I get it. It was Naked Boy Singing. I get it. I read the, you know, description and all that kind of stuff. But it's one thing to read it, and then there's another thing when you're like watching it and you're watching them flop around and walk around and all that kind of stuff.
You were focusing on the penis, weren't you?
Well, no, it was just one of those things. I was like, I've never seen this before. Haven't been in a porn. Not that I ever watch porn, but because I'm a good boy. But my point just being that I was like, huh. And then all of a sudden, then I started, you know, then that kind of just started going away and I started watching the faces, and then all of a sudden they go jumping around again and you can't help but your eyes go back down. You know, like it's distracting.
And you have... Of course, you have the bliss of a bris where they're constantly pointing at the penis,
right?
You know, but that makes sense. Yeah, the penis didn't bother me. I wasn't really paying, you know, that much attention to it.
Right.
And bother, maybe not. Does be the
penis
right word,
disappear for you over the?
Which, I don't know if it really disappears for me. Like I'll see it, but it's more like in passing or as I'm looking at his entire body as he's dancing or something. But yeah, it just, maybe it's just because I'm a theater person, where theatrical arts, where one of the things in theatrical arts is that sometimes people get naked on the stage,
mm-hmm.
and they do that in movies. That it just kind of, I'm blasé about it.
Oh, I'm not saying like I got all Twitter pated about seeing a bunch of dudes running around naked, but I definitely was like, wow, okay, I'm checking these dudes out. You know, I'm
gonna check them out. Best use of a word on the podcast goes to Twitter pated.
Exactly.
By Fuzzbear.
10 points if you know where that's from.
But, oh,
yeah, there you go. But yeah, I mean, you're gonna look at the penis. I'm sorry, you know. It, but after a while, it just becomes like, okay, they're running around naked. You
exactly.
know,
it's
like
it's an accessory, like as if they were wearing boas or hats.
Yeah. The weird thing about this is because this came out. When did this start?
98 was when the play. Or the review started.
I find it very, very interesting that is the very same year that a little thing called The Puppetry of the Penis started. So like 98 was like the year of the penis or something. But
when did the vagina monologues come out? Because there might be something about this.
But I don't know too many adaptations of vagina monologues where they stand there and just show their vagina.
True.
Or do the...
That's true.
They talk about the power of the vagina, but they're not like, hey, look at my vagina.
1996.
It has a monologue.
Close. Maybe it was in response.
Could be.
We had too much vagina, so we had to get some.
You know, vag is seen a lot more in movies and such than wiener. And so this you could might call as a show to finally put the release on the wiener. Oh, wait a minute. This didn't sound quite right.
Well, full frontal, as we know, full frontal male nudity has not been a big thing in media. In visual media. Except for in like old Greek statues and shit.
Right.
I mean,
so yeah.
I mean, with as much nudity and stuff that we're exposed to on the internet and all that crap, I'm still sort of shocked when, you know, a schlong gets thrown out on like HBO or something. It's like, holy cow.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that come from?
Game of Thrones.
Game of Foreskin, yes.
Game of Foreskin.
I need to get to that episode with Hodor.
Yeah.
Hodor.
No, and that's kind of where, you know, where I kind of went with this whole thing is that I think the very first time I watched it, you know, I was almost like, is anybody watching me watch this? Or, you know, I was like, I'm the only one here, and I'm like, what the hell?
Right.
You know, so, you know, for lack of a better term, it would become almost a funny little party trick. Hey, you guys want to watch a musical?
Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha.
Pop it in the VCR, or, well, VCR, DVD player, whatever. You got. Yeah,
I mean, I definitely watch this with my sisters. I'd be like, here, let's watch this.
I couldn't watch this with my parents. Maybe my sister, definitely not my brother.
If you were to put it on and your brother was there, would he watch it or would he go running from the room? Would he be like, I'm out of here?
Probably the latter.
But if it was a bunch of ladies walking around, look at my breasts, look at my veg, he would all be like, what up?
Well, oops. Despite the fact that, you know, I found some of his Playboys at one point in time, I don't think he would want that in a not private area. So.
Oh, okay. I see.
Yeah.
He's a good conservative.
I wouldn't say conservative per se, but.
Well, the only real debates and information I kind of saw about this was there was a lot of people who were like, oh my God, they totally violated this movie by, you know, taking out so much of the off-Broadway stuff, and it doesn't look like, you know, it was a real, I guess, just like real filming of the review. It was just a filming. It was a film version of the review. Mm-hmm. There were like people like they didn't have mics, they didn't have this, they didn't have, you know, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, really? Are you taking it mm-hmm. that seriously? But, you know, but as someone who is watching, you know, I like both movies and musicals. Mm-hmm. And sometimes movie musicals don't always work for me. You know, a lot of people had that issue with Rent. You know, a lot of people didn't like the film adaptation of Rent. Mm-hmm. And it was strange even for me as a lover of Rent to hear them kind of speak songs periodically. I'm like, that's a song. Why are you just speaking it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, or certain things. But, you know, I guess I wouldn't have been that big of a purist. If I had liked this, I would have just been kind of happy to see that it got to a broader audience. I don't know. What do you guys think about that debate?
You know, there are parts of it that made I kind of notice from a technical standpoint. Like, I kept wondering why, like, the main person of the number was mic'd, but not the rest of the backup singers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a little distracting, but I mean, I got over that pretty quickly. But I mean, I had no problem with it, and I don't generally have a problem with taking a play or whatever and turning it into a film. I mean,
yeah. Well,
and some things don't translate into
right.
movies. You know,
that's true.
Basically, I mean, this really isn't really a movie. This really was supposed to be a filming of the stage play so that somebody could have it on DVD that they could take home mm-hmm. that they could watch. So it was supposed to be that
freeze frame.
It's supposed to be this.
When they're like, leaping in the air.
Mm-hmm. Like, right now, my hot little hands here, I've got the complete History of America abridged by the reduced Shakespeare Company. What was it? It was a taping of one of their performances.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? That's what I would want in the complete History of America abridged on a DVD, is I want to see the freaking stage performance. I don't want to see. I have no idea how they would make something special, because one, audience reactions is one big thing for some of these shows, is that you get more from the show by hearing the audience react. Two, our audience participations. In this mm-hmm. case, sure, it's a plant.
Yeah.
I'm sure every show has the plant. But there's no way they couldn't have done that bit if they didn't have an audience and weren't just taping the show.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's the point of the whole damn thing.
Right.
The microphones thing, you know, seeing on the Complete History of America bridge, they had the, you know, lapel mics, but I don't know about you, but you can't really put a lapel mic on somebody in this movie.
Right.
And that would be or in this show. So the way they did that, I think they did more of it as in post-production. They basically put all the audio in afterwards. Right. They did a really good job if that's the way they did it, but or they had some really good shotgun mics or something to make sure that
I can imagine they had it. A lot of good shotguns and you know things. I mean, they're gonna. I mean, they filmed this on a stage with an audience. You know, it was filmed in that kind of bit. They could have been cheesy and you know and like done the Bliss of a Bris in a hospital room. Mm-hmm. You know, and just had it be. Da, da, da. And then, you know, when they do the cleaner guy, he could have been in an apartment cleaning or
flushed out them to be more like sketches or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, you could have gone that way, but they didn't. And I, you know, so yeah. I respect them for that.
As I said, it's better this way just because of the audience reaction. Like some of the jokes during some of the funnier songs, mm-hmm. hearing the audience laugh. It's better to hear the audience laugh than them putting in a laugh track. And that would just be weird and kooky. That's good for a television show, but when you're talking about something that's longer and this as long as this is, it's something where if you're going to have laughter in there, it's got to be honest to goodness laughter from an audience. It can't just be that. And again, right. audience participation and all the interaction with the audience. I mean, they're really doing this a lot of it towards the audience. And not just, you know, that right. third wall. So,
right there, because you can tell by the way where the cameras are situated and stuff like that, you know, like when they're in full stance, being like kind of doing the Superman stance or whatever, mm-hmm. their pee-pee is at whoever's in the front row. They're not necessarily just aiming it at the audience, you know, or I mean, at the cameras, you know, like, ah, right. you know,
and it's just better that way. So it's,
You're never going to get the full theater experience on a movie or film
right.
set anyway, right. you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure if... I mean, some other stage shows could work just fine, you know, doing it not filming the stage show. Like, an example of that would be The Pajama Game or Seven Brides for Seven Brothers. That worked just fine without it. But that's the style... That's the way that particular play works. You can have because the story does not break the fourth wall is one big thing. I mean, that's one way of if you break the fourth wall, sometimes it's really, really hard to not have do the stage performance. There's other things like I actually haven't seen the movie version of Rent. Of course, I never really liked the actual play Rent. Love the music. Did not like the show, but that's just me. That could be difficult, especially if they go to go and cut things.
Mm-hmm.
And depending on the show, some shows, sure, you can cut things. Pajama Game, they cut quite a few scenes. Did it matter? Not really. I would have liked to see Time Study Man. That song done. With Heinze, but I mean, did it ruin the movie not to have it in there? No, not at all. So, I mean, some films, some stage shows, you can just go into real life. Some stage shows, you have to just show the stage show. There's just no other way around it. And this is one good example of that, as well as The Complete History of America Bridge, The Complete Works of William Shakespeare Bridged. Those three are all shows that are best showing the stage show on DVD. Trying to get it.
Yeah, I agreed. Get out and see it in 3D.
Ooh.
Maybe sure. This might be better in 3D than the Glee concert.
Wow.
Nice.
That would be the ultimate practical joke. Everyone's there to see Glee in 3D, and you switch it for
naked boys singing.
Yes,
3D.
Let's make that happen.
They're going to have to do it again because I would insist that they use 3D cameras.
Yes. I'll let them convert it. They have my permission to convert this one into 3D.
See, I don't think it would be very good to convert this into 3D.
Lots of shadows down there.
The conversion just will not
work.
Can,
they could be CGI enhanced.
So, what have we learned?
Ooh.
We have learned this show might be better in 3D.
That's right.
I'm a perky little porn star.
Oh, and it's pronounced Skokie, not Skogie.
Oh.
Anyways, I beat my meat.
We learned that?
I'm just reading the damn sheet.
Okay? I just wanted to hear Jeff say it. That's why I put it there.
Being a theater person. But anyway, it didn't do anything for me. It was just part of the act. I do enjoy myself a review, and not sure if it's for everybody due to the gay themes and the nudity.
Yeah, I prefer my musicals to have a little more of a cohesive narrative. I do realize it's a review, which I've just never really been fond of. The nudity is somewhat kind of amusing little thing at first, but once it sort of wears off, the rest of it doesn't hold my attention, which is sort of the problem with reviews. I think if you don't like the music or the song, you can kind of drift off into, you know, there's nothing else holding you there to watch it other than penises everywhere.
I think that the songs are catchy and cute. They all, you know, they're definitely things you want to hum and do whatever, not give a hum or two, but hum. And then the nudity didn't do a whole lot for me the very first time I saw this, because I think it was more of a shock value. I was like, what? And it wasn't a whole lot different for me the second time around. Like, it just kind of, I was like, okay. It is unique, though, and it definitely would be fun to watch with other people and watching their reactions.
It's definitely unique.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I definitely give it, you know, I give it a worth seeing for sure.
I think so, too.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nice alternative musical review. Just one thing I forgot to mention, Rotten Tomatoes, 64% fresh, 53% audience. So I think we're all kind of like meh.
Yeah, you know? I feel like we're all in agreement that it's a worth seeing. Mm-hmm. Is it a worth owning?
Who knows?
You know, but it's worth seeing because it's definitely different and it's definitely unique. And even if not, just to see how uncomfortable you feel by watching it.
Right. If you have Netflix, what does it hurt by putting it in your queue? Yeah.
Right, exactly.
You have to have the Netflix DVD plan in order to get this.
True.
Yes.
So just wanted to clarify. Anyways, moving on to our little intermission here. We forgot to do this last week, actually. And that's going to flickchart.com, trying to find our top movies of all time between the three of us. Basically, we put up two movies head to head. Which one do we like more?
Depending on whether or not Jeff saw it.
If I haven't seen it, we'll make sure to remove it. If one of you guys haven't seen it, we'll remove it. But most likely, I haven't seen it. And we'll move on. But I think we both saw these first two. The Matrix versus Air Force One.
Oh, Matrix.
The Matrix.
I'm going to agree with that for sure. The World is Not Enough versus Shrek 2.
Ooh, World is Not Enough.
Not Enough World.
I'm going to agree with that too. We've got Men in Black versus The Big Lebowski, which I haven't seen all the way through, so I'm going to skip that one.
Oh,
can you see that? I really do. I'm having trouble getting through it. Men in Black versus Daredevil.
Men in Black.
I haven't seen either of these. I've seen these. Minority Report versus Beetlejuice.
Beetlejuice for me.
Yeah, Beetlejuice.
We've got The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe versus Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
Oh.
Nice combination, huh?
Anything but Crystal Skull.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Narnia.
Even though I'm not a Narnia fan of these Narnia adaptations, I would vote anything over Crystal Skull.
All right, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban versus The Fifth Element.
Fifth Element. I gotta go.
Buzz?
Fifth Element?
Oh, okay. I didn't hear you.
I did.
Yeah, you're a little quiet, so I couldn't hear you.
Sorry.
That's all right.
You're Fifth so Element. Dainty.
I agree on that, by the way. Finding Nemo versus a movie that I've actually seen. Here we go. Finding Nemo versus Gone in 60 Seconds.
Wow.
Finding Nemo.
I am so torn.
I know. I figured you would be.
Pixar movie versus a
Cars.
Car movie.
Cars. I'm going with Nemo.
Let's haven't seen that one. True Lies versus Pan's Labyrinth.
True Lies. True
Lies. Pan's Labyrinth was amazing.
I disagree on that, but, you know, that's just me. Anyways, Pretty Woman versus Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
I've never seen Ooh. Pretty Woman, so I'd have really? To pick.
Oh, wow. It's like, that's a weird one. That was a tough one.
Oh, I already know my answer now. Office Space versus Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade.
Office Space for me.
This is a tough one for me, too.
What?
With Indiana Jones.
Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade is far, far better movie than Office Space. The Princess Bride versus Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. I think that was
Princess Bride for me.
Inconceivable.
Yep.
Have fun storming the castle.
You're not going to like my answer to this one. Batman and Robin versus A Christmas Story.
A Christmas Story.
Batman and Robin.
You lose.
All right. The Princess Bride versus Beauty and the Beast.
Princess Bride.
Agreed. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs versus The Shining.
Ooh.
Wow, that's a weird combo. I'm going to have to go with the Kubrick.
Yeah, I would concur.
All right. Blade versus Apollo 13.
Apollo 13.
Blade.
You know, this is a tough one. This is a tough one, but I'm going to go Apollo 13. Black Hawk Down versus Predator.
Ooh.
Black Hawk Down. Terrible to me, but I remembered. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Predator.
Ooh, so we got a tie. So I actually have to figure something out. I'm going to go Predator. Batman Begins versus Trainspotting.
Trainspotting.
Ooh, Trainspotting.
Really? Anyways. Alien versus Iron Man.
Alien,
of course.
The Sound of Music versus Predator.
That's a great movie, though. I think we should go there.
The hills are alive.
Sound of Music.
Yeah, like,
the Sound of Music.
Yeah.
That one.
Lord.
Gattaca versus American Pie 2.
I've never seen Gattaca.
Really? Oh, no. Okay. We need to put that on the list. Jurassic Park versus American Pie 2.
Jurassic Park.
We need to put that on the list, by the way. I haven't seen that one. Oh, I know your guys' answer already on this one. Lara Croft Tomb Raider versus Ocean's 12.
Oh. Well, see, I didn't like Ocean's 12 as much as I liked Ocean's 11.
Mm-hmm. But
I fell asleep during Tomb Raider, but I have an appreciation for Tomb Raider over
Oh, sure. You keep picking on me for Tomb Raider.
I do. I have for over a year now. I've picked on you about Tomb Raider. I'm not saying I think it's a perfect movie. But in this case, putting those two up against each other, if it was Ocean's 11, Ocean's 11 would win. Mm. But it's Ocean's 12. So Tomb Raider wins for me.
I'm going to have to go with Ocean's 12 for me.
Can you guess what I'm going to go with?
Tomb Raider?
Steven, can you guess what I'm going with?
I'm feeling you're leaning toward Angelina.
Great. I got both of you because I'm doing Ocean's 12.
Ah.
All right. We'll do a couple more of this. The Wizard of Oz versus Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone. So the first movie.
Ooh.
Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, Oz is a classic.
All right. Fantastic Four versus True Lies.
True Lies.
And Monsters, Inc. versus Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban will be our last one.
Monsters.
Ooh, Monsters, Inc.
All right. And that will be the last one for now. So please pop on over to flickchart.com/COL/movies and check out our current list. Right now, still on top is Moulin Rouge, followed by The World Is Not Enough, Kung Fu Panda, Independence Day, Aliens, E.T., The Empire Strikes Back, Spaceballs, The Sound of Music, and The Terminator are our top 10 right now.
Awesome.
But, you know, this is all based off of what we've rated, and I need to.
The Hills Are Alive with the Sound of Music.
The Hills Are Alive.
Hey, he's Austrian, so it does work.
That's true.
In the meantime, let's go to the present.
When does this happen in the movie?
Now. You're looking at now, sir. Everything that happens now is happening now.
76% fresh, 84% audience for Captain America, the First Avenger. Starring Chris Evans, Hugo Weaving, and Hayley Atwell. And go.
First off, I'm going to say the thing that bugged me the most about the movie was the title.
Really?
I really, really thought that the first Avenger thing was really just sort of like, they didn't need that. That was, I know why they're doing it, but it's like, eh. They should have done, why tack that on to one movie?
Yeah. So Thor should have been Thor the Second Avenger.
Well, and he would Iron actually Man, be the third Avenger. Iron Man would have been the second.
I know. Just playing.
No, and we don't know where the Incredible Hulk was. I think he might have been third, and then Thor.
He was some kind of Avenger. Incredible Hulk.
Right.
Yeah, I concur with you, though. I don't think it was necessary. Especially since they didn't do it with others.
Yeah, I was really pleasantly surprised with this movie. Especially after reading some of this trivia here, when they're talking about all these like cameos that they were planning on throwing in here.
That they took out, thank God.
I'm so glad they took all of them out, because I think it would have really sort of cheapened the film if they had stuck,
Submariner? What the hell?
Submariner, Wolverine, Magneto. I mean, please.
Well, Magneto would have been a young boy.
I understand. I mean, it makes sense for Wolverine and Magneto to be in the film, but they don't need to be in the film. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let him have his own film. Right. I mean, we've got enough with, Tony Stark's dad in there. And just the little future stuff that you're getting out of some of that. So, but.
Well, it's also nice to know that how Tony Stark acts came from his father.
So, yeah, obviously. Learned behavior.
Like father, like son. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't just everything. It was.
Nope.
But, I mean. All in all, I mean, I really enjoyed this mainly because, I'm not like a big Captain America fan. In fact, really, my only real memories of Captain America are the horrible TV movies from 1979. Horrible movies. Although I don't think the one from 1990 was much better either. I think that was another.
No, that was horrible from my understanding, because I never actually watched it because it looked too horrible for me to watch.
Yeah. I think the only thing that connected all of that together for me, and that I kind of missed, to be honest with you, I put the note about steampunk, because I always thought of Captain America, because I always thought of like Red Skull and like the, you know, kind of, because they were always like, wasn't it like the guards for the Red Skull were actually like dead Nazis who were brought back to life through like steam power. I don't remember this whole like blue energy thing. Cube. I just miss it. Yeah, the cosmic cube and all that stuff. I didn't remember that being the source of the power. I thought it was all like steampunky.
I didn't think those special forces agents were powered by the cosmic cube energy. I thought that was just for their guns, because they had the bigger guns.
It could be that. But yeah, I just remember it being kind of diabolical that, you know, he was bringing, you know, dead Nazis back to life, you know, as like, you know, or whatever. But it didn't come out in this movie. It was kind of like History of Captain America light, I guess, in some way.
Did Red Skull ever have the cosmic cube in the first place? Like, yeah, in the comic book? I mean,
I don't know. I don't remember that.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's more of, you know, it's got Nazis in it, which are always good villains, you know.
Right.
Always great villains and Nazis. They have awesome uniforms, and
there's reasons to hate them.
There's reasons to hate them. You don't mind watching them get their asses kicked. And for some reason, it just fits. I'm glad that they took this back to his origin story. But one thing that really kind of miffed me a little bit was, why did they bother to do the whole like foreshadowing of him being frozen
at the very beginning?
Yeah, I know it's been a recurring theme in his comic and in his previous movies and things, where he's been, you know, frozen and thawed out in modern times, but they could have just left that for the end. Like, don't think they needed to
start the movie in that way.
It almost felt to me like it was one of the things that they filmed to be at the end of, say, like X-Men First Class, and never put it in.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, because it does kind of fit like it would have, like at the, like Thor fit at the end of Iron Man, right, the hammer being found,
right?
You know, that kind of thing. It should have been just like at the end of Thor, maybe rather than showing Loki again, they should have shown that opening sequence where they find the shield, and that would have foreshadowed Captain America.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, that would have all made sense.
Like, then, like, how did he get like this? And then this movie just tells how he got like that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good well, point. And I don't know how many people probably already know that he was in the war, he got lost, crashed in the Arctic, and was frozen, and then people found him, and it was thawed out, and now he's fighting in modern day times.
All right, so you just opened up my only other real beef with this, okay? Which is, okay, the base that they were taking off from was in the Alps, right?
Right.
Yes.
And they were headed towards, well, at least as far as we know, New York and Chicago were on the blow up list.
Right. So he was trying to go up and over to save time.
I don't know. They lost me there with the whole.
When you're trying to transverse the world and you have a really far way of going, it's actually usually faster to go north instead of directly west, because when you go, the further you go north, the diameter of the planet shrinks.
Shorter.
Yeah.
So you actually go faster by going north and basically up and over.
But here's the thing. Did they ever say why? Like, I mean, it was just like, I'm going to crash this thing and nobody can come save me.
No. Like why he decided to crash it?
No, I mean, he basically was trying to prevent it from, you know, blowing up people. But it was reaching, like, wouldn't they have realized that he crashed and there wasn't this humongous explosion and let's go see if we can get him?
Like, go searching. Well, they had no idea where he was.
Okay.
So they were like, yeah, that would take forever and we don't have the resources to.
I guess that,
They kept America as a loss, but he saved us from annihilation.
Good point. Yeah, well, and as we're talking about the new and old kind of stuff, you know, that was a little bit about what bugged me with the movie, is I felt like there was a lot of, even though they're in the past, there was still a lot of new in some ways, like whether it just be haircuts or speech patterns or certain things. I mean, it wasn't as bad as like Season of the Witch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like where they were just speaking like they were from Brooklyn, even though they were in like, you know, the 1600s.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it was just little, it was just a little annoyances with that, that just let it disappear for me. And then the other only real annoyance for me was when, I guess, Skinny Steve was in the, you know, cause as we all learned, you know, that they actually shrunk Chris Evans down. They didn't put his head on another body. They used a special technique. But did y'all notice that there was a whole lot of dead space around him a lot of times?
I just want to know where he got the super stretchy pants that didn't bust apart when he grew.
I know, right? For real.
same place that the Hulk gets him.
I guess.
I think, but
especially in the car was when it was really obvious that he wasn't there when she was talking to him. You know what I mean?
It sort of gave the movie like Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow sort of feel. Like, it wasn't completely obvious that things were sort of CG'd and added in and taken away and that whole scenes were shot in front of green screen. But it had this sort of vibe to it that was like, I can tell that a lot of this has been digitally manipulated in some way.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be along the lines of at least that style of movie of Sky Captain.
Right.
It was a combination, like in the cities, it was kind of like that. And when they were out, you know, fighting, it was more like a regular war movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why Joe Johnston was chosen for this, according to what we've learned. You know, he's good at period-ish films, you know, and that's why people, you know, saw him as a good potential for filming this. You know, I think that was a good choice. You know, I think it looked good. It definitely looked good overall. You know, I was also curious about your thoughts on the performances of some of the keys. You know, like, all in all, I thought Chris Evans did a good job in that role. He kind of portrayed that purity of that character. You know, the blonde, blue-eyed, you know. You know, like he was a good kid all the way and he stayed good. You know, it was that whole thing that they were talking about, like that whatever the formula was, that it, you know, it made you made whatever good you better.
Right.
Yeah, made good better, made evil more evil.
Eviler.
Or whatever. Yeah, eviler. You know, that kind of thing. And he definitely went there. I kind of wish that we had seen him struggle with the little dark side. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It seemed too perfect almost. But, you know, maybe it's like, you know, like, I mean, I guess we saw it a little bit with Bucky.
Right.
You know, that whole thing, but we can get to that in a second. And then my favorite performance, though, of the whole thing was Tommy Lee Jones. I thought he made that character, and he's just being a dick the whole movie.
Well, he was being a good soldier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He was being a dick because that role, that point had to, you know, he had to be a dick. But then later on, but whenever it came to the point where something should be, you know, good or something is good, or Are you telling me this? Yes. All right, then.
Right, exactly.
Like, you know.
Are you telling me that you're going to steal one of my tanks and go over and do something else on your own?
Yes.
Well, all right, then. Especially,
you know, you do it right. Don't screw it up.
Exactly. But I mean, but he had, I think he had the performance of the movie for me.
And you know what? Based off of the trailer, there was a lot more of him than I thought there was going to be.
Yeah, agreed.
But, right. Which it was a very good thing because I really liked his character. But the trailer, it seemed like he was just this one guy in this one scene and you know, just that he was at that training boot camp and then he would be gone. That's it. But instead, he's there through the entire movie. And it's like, oh, that's interesting. And it was nice to have that cohesion throughout the entire thing. So I'm glad he was there.
And one of the things I was also worried about was I was really worried about Hugo Weaving's Red Skull coming off of as very sort of hokey. And I think they pulled it off. They did a really fantastic job of taking a character who is sort of really over the top and, you know, so gregarious and just and not making it a farce. You know what I mean?
Like, oh, they didn't do that at all. Yeah.
Right.
They just made him an evil person, like an evil, you know, like he didn't give a crap about anybody else. Right. You know, it was just about him and what he wanted to accomplish. And I mean, Red Skull definitely came off as more evil than he had previously in other depictions of him. Mm-hmm. I think. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was really pleased with his performance. The one I was a little bit surprised by the whole sort of USO, you know, Captain America on tour sort of storyline that I didn't expect, but I enjoyed it. I thought it was kind of a nice little break from the sort of seriousness of the rest of the film.
Yeah, I didn't expect it either. To be blunt. I was taken aback for a minute. I mean, was that part of the history, Jeff? The whole aspect of the USO tour and stuff, that he was kind of put on ice at first, and
you know, I don't know that one. Like, I mean, I've never actually like read the original origins or, you know, anything involving the original origins, so I've never actually seen it because I'm not much of a Captain America fan, you know, more of a I know of him, if anything. So I don't know if they had him do the USO thing. I thought the USO thing was kind of cool. I actually thought that was kind of a interesting way. It's like, oh, we only have one super soldier. We're just not going to just use one super soldier. That would just be weird. So we're going to have him be super and put up propaganda, you know, spread propaganda about the war effort. And that's where, you know, the Captain America and the suit starts. And I think that was a brilliant idea. You know, that's how he got into the whole suit thing.
Right.
You know, it wasn't just, we are now going to put you in a suit. And then he just decided to go in with the better suit later on when he.
I liked the suit, by the way. I really did like
how the new one, the real one.
Well, the real one, the real one.
I thought they did a great job with that, and it just worked really well. It was a great way of having the character have that costume, and it more ended up being a symbol of, yes, I'm the guy who's the super soldier, and I'm leading your team. You know exactly who I am, and this is meant to inspire you. And being that it looks so, you know, more of a real uniform than the previous one was, and probably armored.
It was.
Did help out with that. And so he did. He was more like a real superhero, one of them, but not quite one of them.
Right.
And gave a symbol to everybody, but he didn't look like some dwarf.
Yeah.
In a like cotton shirt with the star and stripes on it, you know. So
I agree. I mean, I liked how they actually made it practical. you know, like they took off the little wings and everything and kind of put them on the side of the helmet and
get on,
yeah. You know, really, yeah, you know, like as an homage to the original, but didn't keep it exactly.
Yeah, I liked how it was a helmet. It was actually a helmet.
Yeah, it was one of the better adaptations of the that I've seen. You know, of a lot of those things. I think it looked really good.
Yeah, I think as Marvel's sort of going along, you know, it's learning from its past mistakes and sort of doing a better job of realizing that, you know, what looks good on a comic book page doesn't really come off very well in a sort of film atmosphere. So they've
X-Men.
I think they've done a really good job of sort of, you know, taking, you know, the superhero paradigm and sort of, you know, turning it into, you know, what would we realistically do if we had these people who, you know, were wearing these sort of things, and, you know, what would we put on them? Because we wouldn't want them to look hokey and, you know, campy.
We need them to be practical. But I mean, whereas like the 79 version of Captain America would have totally had them poking out, you know, on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of Marvel, everybody caught the Stan Lee.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
I figured he'd be taller.
Exactly.
Yeah, I did catch that. The other thing I kind of noticed, well, not I've noticed it all the time, but do you guys watch out for the Wilhelm screams in movies?
Not specifically.
No. I mean, you are.
But I did catch them.
Okay.
And I catch them a couple times. I don't remember where they were, but I did hear some.
They were almost always when somebody got disintegrated by the blue guns.
The cosmic cannons?
Yeah. So.
Like a better word.
Yeah. But I just wondered if you guys kind of keep an eye out for those sort of.
I never think to.
No.
To be honest with you.
Always sort of stick out to me, and oh my God, I'm looking at Captain America 1979. Wow. It is like Evel Knievel gone.
Yeah, exactly. Right. The height of Evel Knievel times.
What I love the most is that his shield is transparent.
His shield was transparent.
It's a transparent round shield with red stripes and a blue star. So there is no white. Where the white would be is transparent. You can see through it.
Oh, different adaptations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of different adaptations, transition. Bucky.
Mm-hmm.
I know in the comic book, the one thing I do know from my looking around, Bucky was a little more significant. Like, he didn't just come back to Captain America and then die. Kind of spoiler.
Yeah, he was his buddy.
You know, yeah, he was kind of his like little sidekicky guy, and even had, I think he even had a costume, you know, down the line. But like, I totally get what his role was, but I gotta be honest with you that I thought for some reason he was gonna, I don't know about you guys, but I thought he was going to have more significant role. Like, I thought he'd end up being like a Hydra spy or something.
Oh no.
I mean, just the way that they had played it, because when Captain America, you know, like when he busted in there and like freed all those prisoners, they were all in, you know, they were either working or they were in cages, mm-hmm. you know, in cells. And Bucky was sitting on an exam table with something sticking, like looking at his head kind of thing. And I was like, ooh, I wonder if they turned him or, did, you know, did some kind of mind bending on him. Yeah, converted him like in V, you know, or something, you know, like to become a, you know, a double agent or something. I wasn't sure what was going to happen with that, but I thought there would be, I thought he would actually have more of a significant role. It just seemed like they just wanted to have him in this movie.
Right.
You know, for some reason. And I didn't get to see the whole point. I mean, it's like they may as well have not had him in there other than to be like, you know, as the inspiration for him to get into the military.
Right.
I don't know. Did y'all see anything?
Well, I mean, I can kind of see where, I mean, they sort of changed it to bring sort of a vulnerability to Captain America. I mean, to show that, like, he's got to be, even as good as he is and as powerful as he is, he was still sort of, you know, unable to save his friend.
True.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, it's kind of a downer, but it's again more realistic that it's like, you know, you may be the best person on the planet, but you're still, you know, you can't save everybody.
Mm-hmm. Like, true.
You know.
Good point.
So that's what I thought about that particular moment. And like I said, spoilers.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do we think about the end?
Here's my thing about this whole Marvel, like, stuff at the end of movies. I'm cool with them putting it. But don't, like, put it at the end of, like, the fancy credits. Like, don't
that make, Green Lantern did.
Don't make me sit through 10 minutes of
boring credits.
Sound designers and special effects and stunts and...
Well, you gotta wait and check on the MPAA logo.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just...
Yeah, but, I mean, I agree with you.
I was happy that what they had there, although it's weird that this time it was pretty much a trailer.
Yeah, agreed.
You know?
Yeah, as I was walking out, I was like, aren't they supposed to put trailers at the beginning of a movie?
Well, I mean... If you want to get technical, they used to be at the end of the
They used to trail.
Trailers.
Gotcha.
So.
But it made sense in some ways, but at the same time, it was, you know, it gave you a lot of little images that made, I mean, for me, I was like, who's that character? What's that character? You know, like, you know, those kinds of things. And I was definitely... So I don't know if it got me more confused or got me more interested.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, you got to see the movie to find out who those people were.
Yeah, I suppose.
I mean, there's only a few of them that we haven't been introduced to in some shape or form.
Right.
You know?
Hawkeye, we only got a glimpse of and
right.
A shadow.
Right. But, I mean... Almost a majority of them have gotten their own movie or have been in somebody else's movie. So, are we about ready to see this freaking Avengers movie now, though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to see a longer trailer, of course, but...
Well, yeah. I just think it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, we kind of, oh, we've known it's been coming for so long.
Yeah,
you know, and that they've been working on it for so long that it's one. I'm worried that it's like not, it's not going to do well just because it's not going to live up to like the hype that they've sort of, you know, heaped upon it. I don't remember the Avengers as a comic book being like this huge deal.
Yeah, not as much as the X-Men or like. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm biased towards the X-Men though, because the X-Men were like my first comic, and they were like, you know. They were the first thing that I really got into as far as comics wise. So, but I just don't remember the Avengers ever being like huge.
You know? Yeah. Cause for me growing up, it was, you know, it was super friend, you know, like the League of Justice, the Justice League and, or the, you know, those kinds of things. It was that versus the Avengers. Do you know what I mean? Like the, cause most of the Avengers were part of the Justice League or, you know, or whatever oh, character they have been.
You do realize Justice League is DC, Avengers is Marvel, right?
No, you're right. You're right about that. That's not what I, that's, yeah, I got you. I don't, why I said that was in a weird
way. Okay, we forgive you. We forgive you.
Sorry.
I just haven't been too huge on the Marvel side of things. I'm a huge DC fan. I really wish there was more DC movies, but Marvel's just been killing it with their characters here. So,
yeah,
I've been really liking it. So, what have we learned? We have learned you don't win a war with niceness; you win it with guts. A weak man knows the value of strength and compassion. And the moment you know what's going on inside a woman's head is the moment your goose is truly cooked. That's what we learned from Captain America, the First Avenger. Another fun superhero movie. I really need to see it again to get a full recommendation, but I liked what I saw, so I'm good.
Yeah, and you know what? I forgot to ask you guys, 3D or not 3D?
3D, not worth it.
I saw it in 3D, didn't see a whole lot of stuff that would
I think worth. It was a good 3D, mm-hmm. but yeah. I mean, I don't think it was worth it 3D, but it was good 3D.
Okay. I didn't see it in 3D, so I don't feel
yeah, good. It was the only option in the theater that I went to see it, but I thought it looked good in certain places, but there wasn't enough of it. I mean, it was kind of, you know, so it was,
okay.
I'm you'd be curious. Fine. You'd be fine without 3D in this movie, I think.
Sweet. Yeah, and so far this has been my favorite superhero movie of the summer, I think, even more than X-Men First Class. Ooh. I think I enjoyed it more. I think because I really didn't enjoy Thor at all, and everybody was, you know, when the trailers for Thor and Captain America came out, I was like looking at the two of them just going, I don't like Thor, but Captain America's got my, you know, I've got my finger on Captain America here. So it lived up to my expectations of it, you know. Let's just hope that they can keep the momentum going with the Avengers hype.
Agreed. I enjoyed it. Can't say it was amazing or anything, but I did enjoy it. I also like the character of Captain America himself, but I'm kind of hoping that, you know, once he gets with the Avengers, that we're going to see a little more of an evolution away from like his perfect character. That's about the only thing about him that really got me, was I'm like, nobody's that perfect. So I'm hoping that somewhere in the Avengers, they're going to crack him a little bit and we're going to see like, what he's what his potential is. What
his potential needs to get laid, man.
Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that's it too. But it just a matter of, you know, it's like he has got a perfect veneer. You know,
he's America's strongest virgin is what he is.
Anyways, moving on into the future.
Hi, welcome to the future, and I'm telling you, it's great here.
Wait a minute, didn't we talk about this movie during the flick chart with Apollo? Oh, 18.
Yeah, oh yeah, not...
Apollo, dude. 18 is what we're looking at.
There is no Tom Hanks in this movie.
Directed by Gonzalo Lopez Gallego. And we have no idea who's starring. You see him, kind of. But, well,
we see him because it's lost footage of the Apollo 18 mission, which is being hidden from us from the U.S. government.
Does anybody know what the deal is with this flick, though? I mean, because it confused me when I first looked it up to watch the trailer, because the website had the March 4th or whatever.
Yeah, it was April 11th or something.
I was like, what?
All right. Well, I did a little background check on it, because I remembered first seeing the posters and a trailer out of this like a while back, mm-hmm. and I remember walking around going like, "Ooh, that trailer or the poster looks really good," you know. And then all of a sudden that poster disappeared, and I never saw where the movie went. And then all of a sudden it came back out again, saying like it's coming out in September, and I was like, "What the hell?" Well, I did a little research and found out that. It went back to the drawing board before it got actually released. Why the speculate? There's still speculation. Like, it doesn't really sound like anybody knows why. There was speculation as to whether or not it was, you know, there were some labor disputes or there was something going on. But if you watch the first trailer that came out, the initial trailer that came out for the April release, which is trailer one, and I'm going to have both of them listed. If you watch that one, you see certain things, okay?
Right.
Then you watch the trailer that was released for the September release, and there are some additional stuff that you can see different. Like, for example, and I noticed this one right off the bat, there's a helmet that they find on the surface of the moon in the first trailer. In the second trailer, it clearly says CCCP on the top of the helmet.
Right.
So that suddenly made me kind of go, I wonder what they're trying to say, that the Russians beat us there and they're covering that up. That, you know, like there's all kinds of stuff that could go. So, you know, it's like right. definitely a,
or why wouldn't we know that the Russians were on the moon?
You know? Right. Exactly. That kind of stuff, you know, and there's also speculation, which is listed in the trivia. I found this, that, they're thinking it's going to be about a government cover up of this mission, which in the first trailer, you see some very clear things like a guy getting cut, you know, and something like, mm-hmm. you know, taking him over or something. You don't see those images in the second trailer at the later. Right. So I don't know if they changed plot or if they reshot some stuff or what, you know, so it you know, so in some ways it's kind of interesting to see that they may have gone back to the drawing board on it, or if this is just like a big publicity stunt in the first place to plan a release, then pull it back and then re-release. You know, I mean, you just don't know for sure right. what's going on. But ultimately, to me, upon reading it and looking into everything, like for lack of a better term, it just comes off very much like Paranormal Activity in space, you yeah. know, or Blair Witch Project on the moon, you know, that kind of stuff.
I would agree. Well, only the only thing about that, though, is that this sort of like the space horror film has always been sort of its own little genre. Like,
true,
you know, Alien, Saturn III, you know, I'm trying to think of a more recent one, like Event Horizon, Supernova, Pandorum.
I was gonna say Pandorum, yeah,
you know.
Yeah, because you have nowhere to go. If right. there's something that's stalking you or that wants to kill you or is taking people over or if people start going crazy, you have nowhere to go from them.
You're stuck.
You're stuck. And the thought of being stuck, it's a close quarter scare movie. You know, it's sort of like, sure, Paranormal Activity 1, they could have left the house as right. far as they knew. But it was that thought of the thing kept coming into the bedroom, which is mm-hmm. the sanctum, you know, of all things. But it kept coming into the bedroom or, you know, that. And it's that same kind of thing. It's like it's OK as long as it stays outside. But if mm-hmm. it gets in here, what are we going to do? Because we have nowhere to go, you know. So it's that, like, you know, you see some of the stuff in the trailer where you see like a shadow where they go run across and you see like a shadow or
right.
you see a knock on the side. It's like being in the tent, you know, when a werewolf movie, you know.
I will say, though, that I was sort of disappointed. Like, okay, when the trailer first got, you know, got going and it gives you sort of like that Paranormal Activity vibe, like there's something out there, but you don't quite know what it is.
Yeah.
And then in the trailer, when they do the sort of like it's a parasite infection sort of vibe,
yeah,
that made me kind of go, oh, like I kind of would have left rather. I mean, we still don't know exactly what's going on. It could go either way, but to me, it would have been much more like if it was either some sort of creature or some sort of, you know, unknown force, unknown entity. I think right. it would have been, you know, if they would have just kept it at you don't really know what it is, I think that would have made me happier, which they kind of do more in that second trailer. A little bit more. They don't do it completely. Yeah. They don't totally go, you know, the full parasitic route in the second one.
Yeah, the article I link here in the talking points talks about that they're, you know, that they're pretty impressed that even with releasing stuff early and then pulling it back and then putting stuff back out, that they really haven't leaked a whole lot of stuff about this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, to the point that, you know, I'm like, you can't find that. I mean, so far, I didn't do a huge search, but Wikipedia, IMDb, other articles I found, like they don't even list the actors,
mm-hmm.
you know, yet. So, I mean, that's, you know, maybe they had to sign confidentiality agreements like they would have if they were on RuPaul's Drag U or Survivor or something. But, you know, still, I mean, I think that's kind of interesting. Like, even for Paranormal Activity 2, I was able to sneak the names of the people on it in the movie off of Wikipedia.
You know? Right. And that, like, you know, because that kind of gives you a little hint of the plot if you know who's in it.
Yeah.
So
it definitely seems like there's some interesting stuff going on, you know, in this movie that's supposedly about the decades-old found footage from NASA's abandoned Apollo 17 mission, where two American astronauts were sent on the secret expedition, revealing the reason the U.S. has never gone back.
Is anybody kind of sick of the whole, here's some found camera footage?
Yeah.
Sort of device.
Yeah.
That's like, all right, I'm done with that. Like...
That's why I said it felt very wannabe Paranormal Activity.
Right.
You know, because, like, really the thing that set that bar really was Blair Witch.
Right. Witch. And then we had Paranormal Activity, and Cloverfield even had that. You know, like, here's a tape that was found. You know, here's our device to get, you know, to make the movie sort of why they would have filmed all this. You know what I mean? Like, they're testing some motion sensing camera on the moon. So. There's going to be a lot of camera footage, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm interested in seeing how the camera shots and all that will work, though, considering they're trying to create the moon environment and the space environment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm really hoping, all in all, that, you know, if this movie is decent and I choose to purchase the DVD down the line, that the DVD is going to be full of really cool stuff, you know, like the making of, or maybe, you know, the director's cut of the first edition, you know, of like what they had planned on coming out in April,
right?
You know, something, you know, there's has potential, you know. But I just hope this isn't like a really hokey bad movie, but this is totally a movie I'm gonna see.
Yeah,
I mean, it's totally in my wheelhouse.
Right. No, I agree.
So Jeff, are you awake?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. You guys were just covering everything, so I'm just letting you go.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't have much more to say besides this is going to be interesting. although, for some reason in our summary, it says decades-old found footage from NASA's abandoned Apollo 17.
17, yeah.
It does say that on the internet. It's weird.
Then we'll call it the 18 because it's supposed to be Apollo 18 in any case.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Yeah, I mean, this could be interesting. I'm not sure. I'm sure we'll be watching this. I think this is on our list. So I think everybody should too.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty simple one for me. I love the sort of creepy space science fiction flick. So I'm there.
Yeah, has me interested because I like space movies and close quarter scares. Woo, combination. Hoping I'll get to see some good stuff on the DVD. You know, that's something I'm looking forward to.
Hopefully, an original cut.
Yes.
And with that, that's the end. Roll credits. coming to attractions will be The Matrix Reloaded. That's right, not The Matrix, not The Matrix Revolutions. Matrix Reloaded, so Matrix 2. In the present, we're going to be taking a look at Cowboys and the Aliens. In the future, The Adventures of Tintin. There are plenty of ways to contact us. Let us know what you thought of these movies in the trailer. Go to our website, colmovies.com. Leave a message right there. You can also email us at colmovies@gmail.com, where you can also send like an MP3C voicemail attachment. And we'll play it on the show. You can also leave a voicemail at 361-265-8255. That's 361-COL-TALK. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/COLMovies. Facebook at facebook.com/COLMovies. Also, please pop on iTunes. Leave us a review, preferably 5 stars. We would appreciate it very much. We might even read it on the show. Final thoughts, folks.
You know, we're coming upon sort of like the twilight of our summer movie season. Let's hope that Cowboys and Aliens goes out with a bang, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the other thing that's out there, you know, I challenge any listeners that are out there to to let us know what is something we missed. Because there's been so much that's come out at the same time this year. You know, we've been really focusing on certain movies because we know there's like a long-term effect mm-hmm. coming out from a lot of these. Or movies that we've been seeing for 6 months that we're finally getting to see. Have we missed anything? Right. You know, is there something you would recommend that we look for when it comes out on DVD? Or, you know, are you ashamed of us for missing in the theater? You know, because we can get short-sighted sometimes and we're like, you know, like we've been talking about like Harry Potter for 9 months, you know, or whatever, and or right. the Avengers movie for all this stuff. So I'm curious if anybody out there has recommendations for things that we may have missed that they thought would totally have been in our wheelhouse or something we should check out later.
Yep. Agreed.
Sounds good. I agree completely. And with that, for me, for Fuzz, for Steven. Good night, everybody.
Hasta la vista, baby.
I wish I knew how to quit you.
That'll do, dude.
That's the worst goodbye I've ever heard. And you stole it from a movie.
He's looking at you, kid.
End of line.